I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, offering up a safe space to the independent thinker out there. I'm telling you, I'm feeling like there's a little bit of a movement going on around the world. As dark as things are, as sad as it is to see what we have gone through, maybe this is just the way it needed to be. We needed the wheels to fall off the bus to realize that the bus was broken down and we need to change vehicles. I don't know. So I've got what I started last week doing some wins, judges here, there. Different kinds of protest movements, things going on, mandates being repealed. Maybe I'm now gotten some level of encouragement by some of the people that I'm around in fighting these mask mandates and realizing, wow, there are people out there who really kind of understand the insanity that we're seeing right now, particularly when it comes to our kids. More on that in a second. So I think there's some good things going on. Then I'm going to lead out this whole show with a little bit of a liberal interpretation of the idea of quotes of the day. I'll start with an actual quote of the day that I really liked. This is just put out by somebody, I don't know, it's a tweet or a meme or whatever. It says, in life there are those who will tell you what to think, and then there are those who will teach you how to think. The first type of individual wants power and your dependency. The second type wants to empower you to live independently. And that's what we do here on the show. It's not about telling you what to think, but it is telling you how to think, what to spot in the news, how to spot a piece of propaganda when you see it. On the encouraging side of things, as I said, there's rumblings out there of people understanding that we've let freedom slide too far away from us. There actually were big protests in New York. You know, New York has rolled out these ridiculous vaccine passports. It'll crush the remaining independent businesses in New York that somehow survived last year. The vaccine passports in New York City will destroy the last standing restaurants in New York. Certainly doesn't stop Bill de Blasio from rolling it out. But there was a big protest. I mean, there are thousands. It's really kind of hard. I didn't see good drone footage of this one, but they go into Times Square, and from the camera footage, it's city blocks long, pretty full streets of people protesting these vaccine mandates in New York City. And I got a couple of quotes from people that spoke there. The first one is from a Jo Rose. This is a girl, J-O, J-O Rose. It's a black girl, and I love her message. She said, if you took the vaccine, I love you. This is not against you. We are pro-freedom. One speaker said, quote, the only thing that gathers us all together, different groups, different types, is our stance against tyranny. When they try to take away our freedoms, we stand. Here's another one. And this is a long-running stance of this show. We're all in this together. I'm not talking about COVID. Not the victimhood altogether. I mean, Republicans and Democrats are all paying the same inflation prices. Republicans and Democrats, blacks and whites, have all been paying higher college tuition, and Republicans and Democrats have all had their freedom stripped from us. It is the 99.9% against the 0.1%. That's where the struggle is. I'm not mad at a single person who voted Democrat. I think they need to be talked to, reasoned with. But I'm not mad at them. Another said, quote, don't use this as a political front. I don't care about Biden. I don't care about Trump. I don't care if you're a Republican. I don't care if you're a Democrat. I don't care if you're black, yellow, white, purple. I don't care if you're Christian, Muslim, gay, straight. I don't care. This is a human issue, and it should be bringing us all together. The crowd cheered in response. You see, these are what will make these movements powerful. It's when the elites know, uh-oh, we're not separating them good enough. It's supposed to be the vax versus unvax, the blacks versus the whites, the Republicans versus the Democrats, the conservatives versus the liberals. They're all getting together. I'll go back to my Bugs Life. If you've seen the Bugs Life clip where the guy says, if they understand how much they ever outnumber us, our way of life is over forever. This was sounds from New York City. And, you know, you got to love it. I've been wondering about New York City, what they're going to do. After watching them just really cowed overall, you just saw New York City looked like something from some post-apocalyptic movie with deserted streets for an entire year. Well, finally, they're rising up. And you got to imagine there's a lot of liberal people in this group, and there are some last remaining bastions of conservatism in New York. They're not checking each other's voting records. They're just saying what's going on in New York is insane. Streets and streets and streets. That's Times Square. New Yorkers, signs, American flags flying through the streets of New York City. Some don't tread on me flags in the streets of New York City. It's really amazing to see. And then I ran across this. I'm going to play just a little bit of this. It's a 6-minute long clip. The whole thing's probably worth listening to, but I love the way this guy starts. This guy is Scottish. Maybe that's why I like it so much. I've got Scottish heritage. I credit my Scottish roots for being part of my fight the power, Braveheart attitude towards some of these things. But this guy, his name is Neil Oliver. I haven't run across him before, but he does a little commentary here about what's happened and the fact that we have all been collectively abused.
People are talking to me about the months ahead and the winter to come. Many fear a winter of discontent. They dread the dark and what the dark might hold. The troubles of recent weeks have been hard enough, they say, while the sun has shone and it has been easy to be outside. How will it be, though, when the days are short and the nights are long? I say the autumn and the winter ahead will be what we choose to make them.
Amen. This is the key to the whole thing. What is coming our way is what we allow to come our way. And I'm telling you, I could be wrong. I could be wasting a whole lot of my breath on this radio show. But I tell you right now, I am just thinking this fall and winter, you think you've seen Delta variant hysteria? You just wait till fall and winter when vitamin D levels sink, because they won't tell people to supplement with vitamin D when the sun is not as close to us and people aren't outside enough. It's important for a lot of people to supplement with vitamin D during the winter when you're not getting the sun on your skin. When vitamin D deficiency season comes, not cold and flu season, it's vitamin D deficiency season. That's why colds and flus blossom during these times. When it comes, I think we're just in for a rude awakening if we do not get out ahead of this and let them understand we're not doing this again. We're not sitting down for a fourth wave, fifth wave, sixth wave, seventh wave, eighth wave. We're not going to live our life not knowing if next week we still have freedom in this country. So as this guy says, this fall and winter is what we allow it to be.
It will be a test of who we are as people. I say that in the most important ways, the winter should and could be the making of us. We are divided now. It's no longer just about physical divisions. Opinions have hardened to the extent that we cannot talk to each other. These divisions run through families, between friends and neighbours. Such are the differences of opinion, it has become easier to avoid some people altogether. I say this has been no accident. Our leaders have done their utmost to drive wedges between us. Apart from a few weeks at the beginning of it all, I say keeping us apart had nothing to do with health and everything to do with keeping us demoralised, fearful and helpless. When pressed, they will say it was for our own good. I say it was a bad thing to do that has had only bad results. I don't believe the pubs and restaurants and the rest of the places folk meet to talk were ever a threat to health. People who come together might stay together. A stick on its own is easily broken, but a bundle of sticks is unbreakable. When we are physically together, we communicate in ways that are impossible through a computer screen. We were stopped from gathering, and so the glue holding communities together has flaked away. Too many have been made strangers to each other, even enemies. Our leaders and their advisers are, I say, devoid of empathy, that ability to feel what others feel. Either that, or they don't care what hurt they have caused, which is even worse. It's time for faith leaders, more of them at least, to speak up for the lonely and excluded. Places of worship have a sacred obligation to open their arms. What is a church without a congregation, after all? Just an empty building. I say it's up to us now to come together in every way we can and remind ourselves and each other that there is no need to feel powerless and helpless. Each of us must find at least one other of like mind. To begin with, that one other might be enough. The important thing is to meet and to share face to face. I will not abide by any more lockdown. I'm not talking about militant action. My resistance will be peaceful and quiet. Of all that has happened since last March, lockdown has hurt us most of all. Most people are in a worse place now than before.
He goes on. I don't want to play the entire clip, but I believe this man is exactly right. Our leaders know exactly what they're doing. They love the divisions. And I would just ask you to just kind of self-examine. I'm guilty of it, too. Clay Edwards played a clip earlier today on this guy following a woman around without a mask in a store. I want to punch him, too. We all do. It's hard to remember that the people who have hardened on this idea of the COVID hysteria, they really are victims. I know that's hard to remember. But it is the people in authority. We need to save this energy for the people in authority, for the school boards, for the mayors, for the governors, for the Congress critters, for the people calling the shots. We really, really need to channel and focus our energy. I don't care which side of the aisle you're on. I don't care what color of skin you've got. If you think everything's going swimmingly, then I'm probably not talking to you. But if you believe that the United States has gone off the rails in so many different ways, save your powder. We don't need to be hating on each other. The people who have fallen victim to things like critical race theory are victims. The people who have fallen for complete COVID hysteria are victims, and there's going to be a lot more of them. We need to talk to them like they're victims. Bring them back to the real world and use us all to get together to take down this group of people who rule over all of us. I'll be right back.
You know, the day destroys the night. Night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide. Break on through to the other side.
It's funny, I got this little voice in my head and it always tells me when I'm doing things that'll be unpopular on conservative talk radio. It goes off quite often. It talks to me a lot. As I said, I'm always searching to figure out if the world is insane or it's just me. Maybe it's just me. But when anytime I talk about the fact that I don't dislike Democrats, some of the best people I know are true liberals. I know that's not popular on conservative talk radio. I know everybody wants to be in the fight. I just believe that there is a fight to be had. It's just not with your neighbor or your cousin or your spouse. I mean, marriages are breaking up over things like politics and COVID. And so I know very well when I bring that stuff up, people hear me like kumbaya. Look, I'm with most people listening to conservative talk radio. I don't understand why somebody votes for a Democrat. I can't figure it out for the life of me. I also can't figure out why Christian conservatives are fine with war. Preemptive, aggressive war, invasion of nations that kill hundreds of thousands of people, many of them innocent children. So there's a lot I don't understand. But it doesn't mean anybody who supports either one of those things, either the Democrats or the war machine or any of these other things, I'm not going to cut you out of my life. I'm going to talk to you about it and say, does it make sense to you when you really stop and think about it? I'm just saying. Your tribe isn't big enough. I know people like to be tribal. There's a feeling of camaraderie there that people like. It's why probably sports is so popular. We like to see struggle against something else. It's just we're struggling in the wrong direction, man. We got a lot of differences. There's no doubt about it between all of us. We'll figure those things out. The best thing we can do is kind of leave each other alone. This is my problem with the Democrats, is that they want to force their way on me. And so there's differences to be had, but I'm just saying. How much do you like your government? I ran across this statistic. You're going to love this. If the government, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, Republican, Democrat, independent, doesn't matter. If the government was a service that you could subscribe to, would you pay for it? Would you voluntarily go, yeah, man, I mean, most of us don't use any government services. We get some of the local services. We like our police and our fire. And some people use the schools. We pay for property taxes for those things. But your federal government, just government across, we're all basically sharecroppers. This is what I'm telling you. We're all in the same boat. Listen to this. In 2020, according to Terrence P. Jeffrey at CNS News, who did the arithmetic using Bureau of Labor Statistics data, American, quote, consumer units, unquote, that's a Bureau of Labor Statistics term. You got to love that. That's how they see us. We're consumer units. Consumer units, quote, spent a net total of $17,211.12 on taxes sent to Washington, state capitals, and local halls of government. Meanwhile, they spent only $16,839.89 $39.89 on food, clothing, health care, and in entertainment combined. You are paying more in taxes than you are paying on food, clothing, health care, and entertainment combined. Do you really feel like you're getting your money's worth? I don't care which party you're in or what government jurisdiction you're in. Does that feel a little out of whack to you? And we are, I'm probably sure, rapidly approaching where we can tuck housing in there as well. That's about the only thing left out of that list of living your entire life. You're spending more on the government. In response to things like that, Nancy Pelosi, she's going to fix capitalism. Let me see what the story was. Nancy Pelosi went off and did something, says capitalism has not served the U.S. economy as well as it should, needs to be improved. Nancy Pelosi. She's going to improve capitalism. She said, in America, capitalism is our system. It's our economic system, but it has not served the economy as well as it should. So what we want to do is not depart from that, but improve it and make sure that it serves us. I cannot imagine anybody less qualified, really, than pretty much any politician. But Nancy Pelosi is going to fix capitalism. I got to tell you, capitalism and free markets fix themselves. That's the beauty of capitalism and free markets. We just haven't had that on a national level in decades now. We have cronyism, we've got war profiteering, we've got big pharma owning the government, we've got all kinds of things. Capitalism is not, capitalism's only for the little people. And you know, I was thinking the other day, I can't remember what I was watching, but somebody referred to public service. I can't remember if somebody died or something, but they said, you know, this person had given over 30 years of their life to public service. And it brought up this idea to me. You've heard these politicians call themselves public servants. I should probably look this up. I like to do a fact-based show. I guess I should look up what the term servant means, because it's my understanding with my public school education. Servants typically don't make more than the master, do they? What is the average annual income in the United States? Something around, I think it's around $51,000 to $56,000 a year. Congress critters make triple that, plus some. full bennies, full pension, everything else they make. Triple what the master makes in these public servants. In the term servant, does the servant usually tell the master what they have to do? Can we probably, at the very least, now there's a lot of changes to the system I'd like to make, but can we at least strip them of this idea that they are somehow public servants? Unless I am completely off on the definition of servant. Now, servant feels more to me like the picture the other day with AOC when she's trotting around in her Tax the Rich dress with no mask and smiling and full makeup with the rest of her elite friends, while the servants lined the wall looking down, dressed all in black with black face masks on. That felt like a servant to me, looking at that picture. AOC in that picture does not appear to be the servant in that image.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
You tell me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. The stock market's taking... It's a down day. Somebody call the Eccles Building, the Federal Reserve, and tell them to turn those printers back on. Turn the machines back on. One of the things triggering the stock market problems is a company called Evergrande. It's the largest developer, I believe, in China. And they're having default issues there. They're comparing it to the Lehman Brothers moment here in the United States. I really wish I could get this through to all of the bloodthirsty warmongers with China. People just ready to set it off. You believe China is just poised and ready to come take all of our stuff? The best thing you could do if you want the United States to remain a viable nation, first of all, but a powerful nation, and you don't like the competition from China. I'm not a fan of China's government. I'd love to see it collapse, and it may. China is an economic basket case. The best thing for national security the United States could ever do is get our own financial house in order and let the Chinese just collapse like the Soviet Union. It's going to happen. They've got huge credit problems in China, but nobody pays attention to that. Everybody is ready for a war with China. We need to, well, you see they're building these artificial islands, but that cannot stand. We've got warships over there right now. We're talking about Taiwan. China is an economic basket case. Unfortunately, so is the United States. This is why I hate governments. They destroy things. They create nothing. They destroy everything. A communist government will always destroy a country. We just don't have any patience. And we listen to the Tom Cottons and the Mike Pompeos of the world to get our foreign policy from. Anyway, China's got big problems. They have a printing press too, though, so they'll do what the U.S. does, which is just print up funny money to try to forestall the problems. Talked a little bit about the protest and the good news. In other protest news, the Justice for J6 protest, air quotes in the studio around that word, that the media, you know, they put up the new barricades in Washington, D.C. Apparently a few dozen people showed up. Well, a few dozen regular people showed up. I assume there might have been a couple of regular people in there, but I would imagine most of those were just almost sightseers. It was essentially just a rally for the FBI and everybody else who wanted to try to stage some kind of a problem. They wanted to talk a bunch of ordinary people like the January 6th people into doing something stupid. Unfortunately, none of the people showed up to teach them. What I understand is the only arrest I have not verified if there was any other problems, but it was obviously a big dud. The media was reporting on it all week. The Congress critters on the left were talking about how fearful they were. Oh, we've got PTSD. They're gathering again. Of course, it was never a thing. Even Trump himself said, don't go to this thing. This has nothing to do with the MAGA movement. But apparently the only arrest was one guy dressed as Antifa gets arrested. And I don't know if I'm sure everybody's seen this footage by now. If you haven't, go find it. It is hilarious. One guy dressed up as Antifa and the cops surround him and he's got a gun. So they surround him and they ask for his identification. When he shows it to him, you hear the cop looking at his ID and he goes, oh, are you undercover? I don't know if the guy was, I guess he was a Fed of some kind, an instigator, an agent provocateur. And then they kind of pretended to arrest him. They just escorted him away. Excuse me, Freudian slip. It was really disgusting, too, to see the police there, too. If you see the footage, they're in their full tactical riot gear. They look like the apes on Planet of the Apes, the bad apes, the authoritarian apes. You know what I'm talking about? The full helmet, face mask, body armor, got batons and pepper spray and firearms. I mean, they are just loaded for bear. They look to me like the Planet of the Apes group. This is what the United States has become. It's become a police state. And you know who does not benefit from a police state? Republicans and Democrats, blacks and whites, young and old, rich and poor. None of us. Well, the elites. The elites do. That's their Praetorian Guard. But it was pretty funny to see them actually arrest. I read a story the other day. This just shows you what we've got going on in this banana republic we're running here. There was a story I read. I'm not sure when this took place, but they had some cops posing, going undercover as drug dealers. You know, in this great war on drugs. Another fine use of taxpayer dollars. They can't keep drugs out of prisons, but they think that if they just run enough operations, they'll take them off the streets. So you had some undercover cops posing as drug dealers. And then some undercover buyers posing as drug buyers showed up to buy drugs. So you had one undercover group actually attempt to arrest the other undercover group. It was a drug deal going entirely between law enforcement, each trying to catch the other. This is much like the war on terror, where we fund both sides and you actually have the Pentagon fighting the CIA in the Middle East. You have the Pentagon with our military fighting against ISIS sponsored by the CIA. Fighting in the Middle East. This is the banana republic we live in. But it actually gets more close to home. I want to talk in just a second about Pfizer has come out and said the vaccine's good for the 5 to 11-year-olds. Woohoo! I'll have to look at the stock market by individual issue. Maybe Pfizer's going up today. Of course, we know this is just a PR release. It means very little. But we'll talk a little bit about that. And I've actually got testimony from the mother of one of the test participants that led Pfizer to this conclusion that it's perfectly safe for our young kids. We'll hear from this mother when we come back. Stay with me. I was able to sit in and guest host Alan Ramsey's Do Something America program that airs every Saturday from 11 to 1 o'clock. And I had just a fantastic time doing it. You can get it on the podcast. Go to themikemadisonshow.podbean.com and you can find Saturday's show if you're interested in unmasking the children. I had several of the mad mama bears in studio with me, and then we took calls from some other parents that are fighting these mask mandates. There is a school board meeting tomorrow morning for the Rankin County School Districts. Of course, it's at 7:30. Can it get any less convenient than that for most of you working parents? No, it cannot. So that's when they put it there. But if you want to start showing up for these things, we need bodies out there. I'll be out there in the morning, and then we've got October 4th. We got a Madison County School Board meeting. And if anybody in Jackson Public Schools wants to start organizing parents around getting your kids out of these dangerous masks, and yes, they are dangerous, then you can email me, MikeMadison@WYEB.com, and you'll find support from the parents in Rankin and Madison County. Everybody's kind of crisscrossing the county lines here, trying to help these children who are being abused on a daily basis in these masks. But it's great to see people fighting. And again, I'm going to repeat myself a lot on this particular issue because I think it's important, number one, but I want people to understand what's coming down the pike. And that is, if you do not get out ahead of this mask issue, if you want to send your kid to school in a mask, you can do that. But as far as a mandate, once you accept mandates, then you are ruled by mandates. And this vaccine mandate is coming for your children. It's going to come through the schools. It may come through the legislature. You better start mobilizing and doing it. Pfizer has now said that their vaccine for younger kids, even than younger than 12, is safe, opening the door to FDA approval for vaccinations of children between the ages of 5 and 11. Pfizer and BioNTech announced Monday morning that their COVID-19 jab has been found to be just as safe and effective for grade school children as it is for adults. You know what's just as effective and far more safe? Just being a kid with a natural kid immunity. Their chances of dying from COVID statistically are 0.0. No experimental shot needed. But I thought we would go ahead and say, you know, so Pfizer's doing these trials on these young kids, but, you know, it's always kind of being, it's being done out there in the ether, right? We don't really know. Well, I just happen to have testimony from one of the moms sitting next to her daughter in her wheelchair to tell you about the results of Pfizer's trial on this particular 12-year-old. And I want you to listen to this and realize that the FDA approved the shots for 12-year-olds like this girl that you're about to hear about. And now they're probably going to approve it for 5 to 11-year-olds. So let's hear from a study participant, a volunteer in the trial of the Pfizer jab.
Listen, this isn't easy for me, and this has been very clearly emotional. So I'm going to read what I've written so I don't lose track. My name is Stephanie, and this is my daughter, Maddie, and we live in Ohio. On January 20th, Maddie received her second dose of the Pfizer COVID vaccine as a participant in the clinical trial.
Sounds like it went well, doesn't it?
For 12 to 15-year-olds. All three of our kids volunteered and were excited to participate in the trial as a way to help us all return to normal life. My husband works in the medical field, and I have a degree in electrical engineering. We are pro-vaccine and pro-science, which is why we agreed to let Maddie and her two older brothers volunteer for the trial. Before Maddie got her final dose of the vaccine, she was a healthy 12-year-old who got straight A's and had lots of friends. She had a life. She was energetic. She was not like this. Although she does still have lots of friends. Upon receiving the second shot, Maddie immediately felt pain at the injection site. And over the next 24 hours, she developed severe abdominal and chest pain. And the way she described the chest pain, and I quote, "It feels like my heart is being ripped out through my neck." She had painful electrical shocks down her neck and spine that forced her to walk hunched over. She had extreme pain in her fingers and toes. It actually made them turn white, and they were cold whenever you touched them. She had edema. So my husband immediately took her to the ER as instructed by the vaccine trial nurse administrator, which is what we were instructed to do. Her blood was taken for a renal profile and tested. She was checked for appendicitis, which she did not have, and given an IV with some medicine and sent home. However, in the discharge papers from the Children's Hospital ER that she went to, the diagnosis stated adverse effect of vaccine initial encounter. This would be the only time that that was written in her medical charts, but it's in there. Over the next 2.5 months, her abdominal muscle and nerve pain became unbearable.
Well, this woman, how can you, that can't be right. They tell us that, you know, any side effects for the kids is very short term, very mild, and then they get right 2.5 months. We didn't hear about this in the studies.
She developed additional symptoms that included gastroparesis, nausea and vomiting, erratic blood pressure and heart rate, memory loss. She mixes up words, brain fog, headaches, dizziness. Fainting, she fell and hit her head, and then seizures. She developed verbal and motor tics. She had loss of feeling from the waist down and muscle weakness. Drastic changes in her vision, urinary retention and loss of bladder control, severely irregular and heavy menstrual cycles, and eventually she had to have an NG tube put in to get nutrition. All of these symptoms are still here today. Some days are worse than others. Our greatest challenge came when her doctors began to consider an alternative diagnosis. Well, she really didn't have one before, so it was the first one. So, like everybody else, she had lots of tests, but not nearly as many tests as everybody else, and she's a child. Why didn't they do this? All those tests on her.
I mean, they love the children. You would think they would have pulled out all the stops. I mean, they want to make sure this thing's safe for all the children. See what they do. And it would be very interesting. I don't know how you would do this to track this girl. They probably just removed her from the study. Oh, look, we got some defective kid. We can't have her in the study. Look, she's all messed up. Something must have been wrong with her that she didn't disclose before the trial started. Let's kick her out of the trial. This is somebody that was in the first trial. And the FDA approved this shot for 12 to 15-year-olds.
Sorry. So, because they couldn't figure it out, one physician labeled her as having functional neurologic disorder, saying it was due to anxiety. This concerned us, and we didn't agree with it, because she doesn't have the anxiety. Look at her. I mean, what 13-year-old can sit here calmly, okay, if they have anxiety or mental issues? At one point, they even tried to admit her to a mental hospital.
Ah, there's your medical mafia there. Can't be the vaccine. My Pfizer rep tells me everything they give us is good as gold. It's been signed off on by the FDA, the gold standard. It can't be that. Your daughter's crazy. This woman goes on. It's heartbreaking. The image is horrific. This girl is sitting next to her, formerly healthy girl. Now she's in a wheelchair with a tube running up her nose. As her poor mother, and I know a lot of people get angry at these parents who offer their kids up to these experiments, but again, I mean, this woman's a victim. My heart goes out to her. She's got to live the rest of her life knowing what she did to her daughter because she trusted the pharmaceutical companies. I believe she said her husband's in the medical field. So he is just a big pharma cheerleader himself. He rushed all three of their kids. Luckily, only 33% of their children became completely disabled by the vaccine. I guess that's a victory, huh? Well, look at that, Mike. Two of the kids can still stand on their own. This poor 12-year-old girl who had a 0.0% chance of having a bad COVID outcome, her life's completely changed now. She's permanently disabled. It's quite unbelievable. And I wonder about this because I did a quick study again. You know, I do those things other people won't do. And this did take me about 10 seconds, 12 seconds maybe. I was just wondering because everybody says, oh, you know, when they first approved, gave the official FDA approval, and this gave a lot of employers the cover they needed. Oh, well, now I can mandate the vaccine. Now the government can mandate the vaccine because it's got the gold standard of FDA approval on it. You remember this just a few weeks ago, right? So I took about 12 seconds out of my life, and I typed in an internet search for list of drugs recalled by the FDA. Did you know that? Do people know that that happens? That the FDA will take pharmaceutical company studies on their own drugs, which they provide to the FDA. Do you know the FDA doesn't test anything, right? They rely on pharmaceutical companies to do their own testing. They essentially take their word for it. And then they approve drugs. How many drugs do you think have been recalled just in the past 4 years? You got a number in your head? This would be a better segment with a guest. But 377 drugs, FDA-approved drugs, have been recalled in the last 4 years. Almost 100 drugs a year. I was even stunned by this number, and I can't stand the FDA, and I've been fighting the pharmaceutical companies for 4.5 years on WIAB, and I was still surprised. 377 drugs have been recalled. These are from pretty much every company. Here, Chantix, the most recent one from Pfizer, the anti-smoking drug. They tried to put a black box warning on it. Still, it was too dangerous. They ended up having to recall it. Pfizer's had several. I couldn't parse this. It really didn't have time. Well, I'll take a look at it again. There is something you can go to. You can do internet searches for Big Pharma rap sheets, or you can just do a search for Pfizer rap sheet. You've got a company out there that is about to experiment on an entire generation of children. And they've got something called a rap sheet from all the criminality that they have undertaken. All of the billions of dollars of fines of misleading information that they've provided to the American public. And people are going to offer up their children to this company? Particularly the left, who used to know these things. It's like they waved a wand over the left in this country and said, No, you don't remember that the pharmaceutical companies are evil. You think they're great. FDA recalls drugs all the time. The idea that FDA would sign off on something, and particularly that a pharmaceutical company would say something works, just means nothing. 377 drugs recalled just over the past 4 years. You can look it up. It's on FDA.gov. I'll be right back.
I see the shadows on my face. People have told me I don't look the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky with the best of the best.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number 601-879-0002. There's just so much around these vaccines. They're rolling these things out of our kids. How do you talk about just about anything else? I almost don't know. I've got other stuff to cover. There's other things going on. But I just see this tsunami of danger, of consequences coming towards an entire generation of children. And people going along with this stuff. I mean, I don't know how many clips I saw this weekend of just insane people. It's couple of women on a plane next to a guy that's pulling his mask off to eat something, and they're pressing themselves against the side of their plane with their face masks on, with their face shields on. I mean, this level of insanity, I'm sorry, is just too hard to ignore. I don't know exactly what else matters as much as this stuff, but I've got more on this, including we're going to talk about Pfizer did not, the FDA did not approve these boosters. Then there could be several reasons for that. So we'll talk about that in for just a second. But got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you?
Hey, good, Steve. What's going on?
Not a whole lot. I'd just like to point out to everybody out there that 999 times out of 10,000, when you hear the phrase, you may be entitled to financial compensation, it's about something the FDA approved.
Amen. You're exactly right. Yeah, we know this. I mean, I was stunned, as I covered last hour. In the last 4 years, the FDA has recalled 377 drugs. Now, some of these are, you know, it's not necessarily a pill you'd see advertised on TV. Some of them are, you know, amino acid injectables. I mean, so it's a lot of things that I've never seen before. I don't know what they are, but you're right. We are bombarded with these commercials for a reason.
Yeah, and then everybody thinks, okay, it's okay because the FDA approved it, really?
Right. It means nothing. I mean, it means that there's some body there's a group of people who come from pharmaceutical industry and go back to the revolving door to the pharmaceutical industry that read the pharmaceutical industry's own studies. FDA does not do their own research. I believe I'm accurate on that. I don't think they have anything where they do any studies themselves. They just read the studies submitted to them by the pharmaceutical companies. And the large majority of funding for both the CDC and the FDA come from these same pharmaceutical companies. I mean, the conflict of interest is just, it's like a red warning sign going off.
And I'd like to point out aspartame. Aspartame was denied approval on several occasions, and it wasn't until Ronald Reagan appointed Donald Rumsfeld that it became approved.
Yeah, and I believe aspartame has been wrecking Americans' health ever since.
And we know it causes brain damage.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this idea, but, you know, we hear things like we have the greatest medical system in the world. We just have these things that are just said. They say the FDA is the gold standard of approval. The CDC is gold standard of review. But like we're saying, I mean, 377 drugs, FDA-approved drugs, pulled off the market in just the past 4 years. That's as far as the chart that I pulled up. I'm not sure why it only went back to 2017. There have been drug recalls for probably as long as we've been alive. So the FDA signs off on these things.
Ever heard of a rock called pyrite?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
It's fool's gold.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah.
So we have the pyrite standard.
that's great. I like that. That's exactly right. That's what we've got. We've got the fool's gold standard. Hey, thanks, Steve. I appreciate
it,
man.
All right, brother. Thanks.
All right,
bye.
Bye. Yeah, and so, you know, when you see people getting the shot or getting their kids the shot, you just have to understand they don't understand the FDA. They don't know, they just hear mainstream media. These are not necessarily stupid people. They're just, I believe, uninformed. And so many people have got other things on their plates that they just cannot spend the time doing the kind of, I mean, my life revolves around this stuff. I've got a profession that involves me researching this stuff. The FDA did not approve the boosters, with the Biden administration wanting to roll out boosters for everybody immediately. The FDA actually said, "Nyet, they're not going to do that yet." Now, there's several reasons that this could be. Let's take a hopeful tact to it. There's probably a lot of good people in the FDA, maybe, who are just been compromised by the system. It's like a lot of doctors. Doctors are trained in the cut, burn, poison model. I think you either cut something out, you either nuke it through radiation, or you poison it through a pill. Because the pharmaceutical companies sponsor the medical schools. We've been through this a great deal on my show for years now. But I would imagine there's some people at the FDA who have been pro-vaccine and, you know, they just live in that world. But maybe some of them are waking up and looking at Israel and Great Britain and Australia and Germany and these other countries that are using these mRNA technologies. And they're saying, this thing doesn't work. Now, they can't come out and say that because they'll lose their careers. It's a shame. There's very little courage in some of these agencies. Occasionally it pops up and these people are summarily crushed. But maybe some of these scientists said, I don't think a booster's really the problem. This vaccine doesn't work. It doesn't work. It is showing all over the world that it doesn't work. It's gone from you won't get the disease and won't spread it, we'll stop COVID in its tracks, to, well, maybe you can still get the disease. And yeah, it does look like you can spread it. Matter of fact, you could become a super spreader. But if you get it, it'll protect you from, they said 100%, it'll protect you against hospitalizations and death. And now they've come out and said, well, doesn't necessarily, I mean, for a lot of people, it makes your symptoms less severe. They've gone all the way down from this is what will end the pandemic. It's so safe and effective that this is the only way. Now they're down to the flu vaccine talking point, which is, well, we might have missed the strain, but it should make your symptoms. It could possibly, it might, it may, we hope. All these scientific terms like hope and might. I say it might lessen your symptoms. That's where we are now. You've got the president of the United States coming out and saying he's got to do vaccine mandates because he's got to protect the vaccinated from the unvaccinated, which is just a Joe Biden word salad, the meaning of which is this vaccine doesn't work. So we need to make sure that everybody's taking the vaccine that doesn't work so that the people who've already taken the vaccine that doesn't work don't get infected by people who didn't take the vaccine that doesn't work. It's absolutely bizarre. But it's also maybe at the FDA, maybe the booster is not going there. Pfizer is working on a pill. This is just beautiful business modeling stuff. You've got to hand it to the pharmaceutical companies. They have done it right as far as the business model. You buy the government, buy the regulatory agencies, and then you just put out whatever you want to put out. I mean, that's essentially what's been going on for years. But now they've even, I mean, they are ramping it up. They're smart. Whew, there's some smart guys in the marketing team at Pfizer, for sure. For sure. They've still got people out there saying nothing but safe and effective on this thing when it is shown to be neither. But it may be that Pfizer apparently is working on a pill that you take in conjunction with the shot. And people are suspecting it is kind of ivermectin-based. But maybe the FDA is just saying, well, we don't need to worry about the booster. We found out that rather than just an additional $20 shot, you know, we can do a $50 per month daily pill that you take with the shot. It is going to be very interesting to see, but this is real. They are working on a pill that goes with it. So you get the two shots, they get you onto the treadmill of Pfizer products, and then you're on essentially a daily, I don't know if it's daily, weekly, monthly, I don't know what it is, but, you know, daily is probably best for profits. Then you take a pill along with this. So the FDA may be just saying, well, let's just go ahead and wait for this pill. It's going to end up making Pfizer more money anyway. There was a writer for the Daily Beast. I want to show you just how. Ah, man, how deep this stuff goes for conditioning people. There's a Daily Beast writer. You know, Daily Beast is a far left publication. And let me read her texts here. I mean, her tweets. This is a Daily Beast writer, Shannon Vavara, V-A-V-R-A. She says this, so it's taken me a while to write this, but early last month I had a breakthrough case of COVID. I was fully vaccinated, had both shots. And I know it would have been much worse if I weren't, but it was still plenty awful for me. This idea, I love this, you know, trying to prove the negative. There's just no way to know. Everybody who gets the vaccine, who they were assured would keep them from getting COVID, when they get COVID, and there's more and more and more and more and more and more and more of these, they say, well, I know it would have been worse. She looks like a young girl, probably in her 20s, maybe early 30s. So her chances of having a bad outcome from COVID were minuscule in the first place. But she goes on to say, I ended up in urgent care with chest pains. I felt terrible, and I'll spare you all my emotions, but it felt like fire. I am young, healthy, and fit, and fully vaxxed. But I still have some chest pains over a month later. All this to say, be smart, take precautions, even if you're vaxxed. This girl, I don't know, I don't recall hearing much of anything about COVID causing chest pains. COVID's a respiratory situation. Now, it does have some, you know, people lose smell and taste and some of these other things. I believe that this girl is having an adverse reaction to the shot, and she doesn't even recognize it. She takes the shot. She's young, healthy, and fit, her words, and fully vaxxed. She ended up in urgent care with chest pains, felt terrible, and she said, I'll spare you all my emotions, but it felt like fire. She's having an adverse reaction to the shot, and she thinks that it's COVID. And so her advice is, what would you think her advice is? She does say this. She says, as far as my chest pains go, maybe everything will be fine and they'll stop. I'm hoping I don't have long COVID, but I don't know what's in store for me, partly because the U.S. has done a pretty bad job of tracking long COVID among the vaccinated. I believe the long COVID is the vaccinated. It's the vaccine. Anyway, she ends with this. Anyways, we should encourage vaccination as much as possible and take other precautions like wearing masks. I feel certain my case would have been so much worse if I weren't vaccinated. Please do your part. Holy cow. This girl ended up in urgent care. She's gone on for a month of chest pains that feel like fire. And she tells everybody, yeah, go out and get your shot. What are we seeing here? Got a caller online. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you doing today, sir? This is Wade calling.
Hey, Wade, what's going on, man?
Oh, not too much. I just wanted to, I don't know if you saw it or not, on InfoWars, they have a link to the FDA had a meeting, a Zoom meeting, shows a full video. You can listen to the full video where the FDA says that we are killing more people than we're saving. For every one person we save, we kill two.
Now, I don't think that
the elephant in the room is what he says.
Yeah, I don't think that was anybody with the FDA. That was the FDA. The conference that they did was basically kind of like a public comment type thing, so people could call in. I guess they had to. I don't know how they chose the people, but they could call in and submit slides. It was a very interesting presentation, and there were a lot of people like the person you're talking about. I believe this guy was, I want to say Steve Kirsch, I believe was the guy's name. And he is actually the chairman or something of a COVID early prevention or early treatment fund or something. He's one of these guys.
He says on there that he works for the FDA, right?
I don't think he works for the FDA. I think he is an outside group commenting on it. Now, I'm not saying he's not right. He certainly had his facts, but I don't believe that that was an FDA admission of this, because I don't think they would ever say that out loud. They certainly don't want to. But I think what this guy was doing was he was going through the statistics, because the math around how many people need to get vaccinated in order to save one life is very complicated. People think that when they see, they say this drug is 95% effective. What they think that means is if I get the shot, I've only got a 5% chance of getting COVID. That's not what that means. And I can't even explain it, because when you get into, this is like real college level statistics stuff, but there are numbers out there that show how many people need to be vaccinated in order to save one life. You know, somebody who was actually going to die from COVID. I can't tell you what that calculation is now, but I've read through them. They're very complicated. So let's just say you have to inoculate, and the numbers are large. I mean, it's like you have to inoculate, 120,000 people in order to save one life.
That's just strange,
yeah. Yeah, and so what this guy was saying is, if you look at it, let's just say the number is 120,000. If you have to inoculate 120,000 people just to save one life, and this is how this stuff is actually calculated at the statistical level. So you save one life by inoculating 120,000 people, but if for every 120,000 people you have two deaths from the vaccine, now those are still very rare deaths, right? Only two out of 120,000. Obviously, that's a very small number, but it's still twice as many as what the one person you were saving. And those were the numbers he was breaking down. I'm not at all arguing with his numbers. I just don't think he was actually an official with the FDA. He just got onto their public comment Zoom call.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's still...
Have you been paying attention to the VAERS numbers too?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
What are they at now, 70 a day? Since July, I think it was.
Yeah, I don't think I've even been paying attention to it on a per day basis, but you're right. I mean, it is just...
Yep. July, it breaks down to 70 people a day.
It's crazy. And they just...
That's a lot.
Yeah, and we know that back in the 1970s with the swine flu vaccine, when they had, I think it was 53 deaths, they pulled the whole program. And that
right.
was...
And they should.
Yeah.
I mean,
they had inoculated something like 20... It was over 20 million. I want to say maybe 26, 28 million people had gotten the shots. Only 53 died. That's still a very small number out of 28 million. But they pulled the whole program after 53
and
deaths.
To this, it's a whole lot. It's not any number.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is in the stratosphere. And I actually texted a friend of mine this weekend, because he's got a lot of doctors who are really pumping the vaccine, and he believes them. He thinks that they know what they're talking about. They do their research. And I sent him one of those presentations from that FDA thing where a doctor was showing charts about, heart attacks have quadrupled since the vaccine, all these other things.
Right.
And I said, do doctors look at this? It's a serious question. Do doctors think it doesn't matter? Do they not believe the data? What's the thinking of the medical profession's brain? Are they just not seeing all of the VAERS information, which is terrifying to know? The medical community that is hawking this vaccine is not paying attention to the VAERS numbers, but I think that's
right.
Quite possible. Pretty amazing stuff.
It is.
Yeah. Thanks.
Have a great day.
Hey, thanks,
awesome
Wade.
Show, sir.
Appreciate it, man.
All right.
Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
A werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place.
All right, I did look up this Steve Kirsch guy who spoke at the FDA meeting on, I guess this was on boosters. Steve Kirsch, he's got something called the COVID Early Treatment Fund. Says the team is comprised of experts from a wide range of fields, including medicine, technology, philanthropy, and business. Together, we've become the world's leading fund focused on early treatments for COVID-19 that leverage repurposed drugs. We believe this is the shortest path to reduce hospitalizations and save lives now. The guy's obviously very smart. When I looked him up, I got to tell you, the Steve Kirsch guy, he's very, certainly is accomplished, but he's up to something that I got to tell you, Steve, please stop. Steve Kirsch is the CEO of M10 Networks, which develops digital money technology for banks and central banks. No. Steve, I'm with you on the early treatment, but please don't get us into a digital Fed buck. That's what they're headed for. And he's also the inventor of the optical mouse and one of the Internet's first search engines, InfoSeek. He's the founder of 7 high-tech companies, 2 with billion-dollar market caps. So interesting. But I don't see any ties to him and actually the FDA, so he's not a representative of the FDA. He's just a smart guy who understands that their, you know, early treatments for COVID mean we don't have to use experimental shots. I mean, I got to tell you, I was going to call one of my friends this weekend. As a matter of fact, probably for the last 3 weekends, to see if they've changed their mind at all, if they see the insanity of this vaccine program, if they're looking at Israeli data, if they're thinking about the fact that children who are not susceptible to bad COVID outcomes in any meaningful or statistical way should be experimented on. And for the 3rd weekend in a row, I was going to make the call, and I just said, I just can't do it. I'm so scared I'm going to find out that they will slough off all of these facts that show this vaccine program is a giant disaster. I mean, for a lot of people, it's a life-changing, almost, well, for tens of thousands, a life-ending disaster. And we have no idea what this is going to be. But I tell you what, I just, it's like I kind of got to get in the mood. Because I'm going to be so disappointed, because this is a rational girl. She just believed a lot of the COVID hype. Seemed to have toned down a little bit. I'm just so scared that I'm going to end up getting into an argument with her. And she's somebody that I care about. Anyway, I didn't do it. I guess I'll go ahead and take a break and come back. Ron DeSantis and the health people in Florida came out with an interesting admission about who's seeking treatment, early treatment for COVID, particularly when it comes to monoclonal antibodies. Very interesting. It does not go with the mainstream narrative, but I believe it will very soon. I think we're about to see the failure of this vaccine here in the United States. It always comes in waves, and this is one of those things. I don't have much patience either. Once I saw what was happening in Israel and in Great Britain and in Australia, I wanted the vaccine program to stop immediately. But I guess we just have to have some patience. It's coming this way. The vaccine is failing in the United States, too. I'll show you that in just a second. Stay with me.
Well, it would have been, could have been worse than you would ever know. On the dashboard and melted, but we still have the radio.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I think I erroneously reported somebody. It's the 2nd time I think I've done this. I promise you, I try so hard to be accurate on this show. And I think I reported on Friday from hearing it somewhere that JPS was instituting a vaccine mandate for their students. That has not been true. I believe JPS put out a statement to that. That is certainly good news. But it's coming. I have no doubts it's coming. I have no doubts it's coming for Rankin. I have no doubts it's coming for Madison. I have no doubts that they are going to try to implement this vaccine. The Biden administration has reduced travel restrictions from some countries, but they'll only let the vaccinated in, which is really hilarious when you stop and think about the fact that they've already shown that the vaccinated can spread COVID-19, and in some cases, more virulently, a higher viral load that they carry than the unvaccinated. So what is the purpose of letting vaccinated people in if they can not only spread, possibly super spread, and they can infect other vaccinated people? I'm not sure what the point of any distinction at this point is. If you want the shot, get the shot. Good luck with that. But it just, these policies make no sense whatsoever. A spokesman for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis' office said that more than half of those who were seeking monoclonal antibody treatment in the south of Florida are fully vaccinated. Quote, more than half of the patients getting the monoclonal antibody treatment in South Florida are fully vaccinated. This is DeSantis spokeswoman Christina Pashaw. She wrote that in response to a comment on Twitter that suggested that only unvaccinated people are the reason why there's a significant demand for monoclonal antibodies. Now, they're not anti-vax in Florida. I know the left loves to jump all over Ron DeSantis. They called him Ron Death Santis, even though he's got one of the oldest populations in the country. And his results were still better than other states that did lockdown measures and mask mandates and things like that. It doesn't stop. The facts don't stop. But he's not anti-vaccine. Ron DeSantis has been coming out encouraging people to get the shot. It's one of the things I don't like about him. That and his foreign policy. I'm just going to tell you, I know a lot of people want to see Ron DeSantis be president. When it comes to freedom around the issues of COVID, he certainly is better than the current occupant. And probably better than most, but I got to tell you, this is going to be a hard time to get me fired up for a DeSantis run for the presidency when I see his statements on foreign policy, because he's a bit of a warmonger. But pretty tough to find anybody in either one of the parties that isn't. So this woman wrote, this spokesman for DeSantis also said that Florida is above average in their vaccination rate. And that more than half of the patients in South Florida getting monoclonal antibody treatment are vaccinated and have breakthrough infections. It shouldn't even be called, they're not breakthroughs. They're just infections because the vaccine doesn't work. And this was also in response to the idea that the Biden administration has taken over the monoclonal antibodies and they're rationing them out, which is just, it's essentially Joe Biden's death panels. And if you live in the wrong color state, and here's the funny thing to the Democrats out there who would support something like this, you think you're punishing the red states? There's a lot of sick Democrats in red states. And Joe Biden's going to allow them to die, I guess, to really prove a political point. It's just about as sick as it can get. Our loving government, though, Japan found some little white stuff in some of their Pfizer doses. After finding mysterious white floating contaminants in five unused vials of Pfizer's COVID vaccine, Pfizer has managed to convince Japanese health authorities that the particles are, quote, safe. We don't know what it is. We don't know why it's happening. You remember this Pfizer thing, right, when they rolled it out? You remember they told you it had to be at like negative 90 degrees to keep it stable? And then when it proved to be a real problem to roll out sub-zero freezers all over the country, they just went, I mean, we guess it'll be okay in a refrigerator. You know, just put it in your regular, one of those little college kids' mini fridges somewhere. It'll be fine. This is interesting. The science on that changed real quick when they realized it was going to affect their distribution. Now, somebody made a boatload of money on the sub-zero freezers for these things, but I guess they couldn't finish the deal out, but again, they told you it needed to be stable at negative 90 degrees Fahrenheit, I believe. And then they just retreated, suddenly said, no, it's fine. It's fine. You can just carry it around in your pocket, I guess. This was another thing. I tell people, you know, I started off my show today with a quote about people who tell you how to think, not what to think. I've been warning about so many of these things for so long, pharmaceutical companies, medical community, government at large, you know, just all of these things. But another thing I've been warning you about is that the propaganda on the right is just, it can be horrible too. There's a writer for Breitbart. Luckily, I don't think this was effective judging by the comments, but this is the headline on Breitbart from the guy Nolte. What's the guy's name? John Nolte. Wrote a lot of pro-Trump articles, so readers must love him. His headline is, anti-vaxxers hype benign transmission numbers as proof vax doesn't work. And he goes on to say, sometimes I wonder if the anti-Trump vaccine Twitter accounts that flood my feed are authentic. Actually, I don't wonder this sometimes. I wonder about it every time my feed is flooded for the comments. Or the comments here are flooded with people who freak out after I suggest you go out and get this life-saving vaccine. Essentially, what this guy from Breitbart is doing is he is saying in this article that those of you on the right are falling for left-wing This is such tortured logic to try to get people to take the jab. He starts off his bullet points on this. He says, the Trump vaccine is a miracle and a lifesaver. This guy may just be so in love with Donald Trump that he just can't admit that something that Trump was involved with is a disaster. He doesn't like the mandates, but he does say that this vaccine is a miracle and a lifesaver. He has no scientific backing for any of that, and he should take a walk through the Israeli hospitals and see if he still feels the same way. But he goes on to say this, the organized left is deliberately putting unvaccinated Trump supporters in an impossible position where they can either not get a life-saving vaccine or can feel like they're caving in to the ugliest, smuggest bullies in the world. Essentially, this guy is trying to convince you that if you don't go out, this is a Breitbart writer, if you don't go out and get this shot, it's because you fell for left-wing propaganda. Can you even wrap your mind around what a reach this article is? But this guy's in Breitbart. I've warned you about Breitbart and warned you about Fox and Judas Goats and all these things. This Nolte guy, I keep wanting to call him Nick Nolte. John Nolte is one of their writers. I believe he's a big neocon, too. I've pulled out several of his articles that are just really, really horrific if a conservative ever stopped and thought. But he's on Breitbart. That's where I get my news. Breitbart will tell you the truth. CNN won't. That's what people say. But this was just, this article was so bizarre to me, where he's trying to convince Trump supporters to get the jab because to not get it is to play into the hands of the anti-Trump leftists. Even as I say those words out loud, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around how that's possible or even a conclusion that he could possibly come to, but somehow he did. I'll be right back. I did not see the Emmys last night. I'm not a big award show person. I think a lot of people have joined me there, but I'm sure a lot of people watch it just out of kind of a little bit of hate watching, a little bit of perverse curiosity. But I did see a link to a Yahoo story. And of course, this is the headline. The 2021 Emmys were a thoroughly modern, parentheses, mostly white, COVID unsafe disaster. Wasn't Cedric the Entertainer? I mean, I tried to read through the story throughout it. Wasn't Cedric the Entertainer the host? Is he not black enough? A COVID unsafe disaster. How many COVID unsafe disasters have we seen? We've seen Sturgis. We've seen the football stadiums have been packed. I'm crossing my fingers. I'm telling you, I think we're just a few weeks away. Certainly when we get into November and December, go enjoy your football now. Before the hystericals take it back, snatch it away from you. I know I saw some football yesterday. Several players were out or coaches were out in some of these NFL teams because of contracting COVID, which is odd because they're all vaxxed. It's almost like the vaccine doesn't work. Almost. But I guess the Emmys were just another example of rules for thee and not for me, that kind of thing. But shouldn't we just be seeing mass deaths? I mean, I've asked the question so many times. If COVID is so dangerous that our college students must be mandated to get these shots, and many colleges have done just that, why didn't we see just basketball players last year dropping like flies? Does anybody know of a single athlete in the major college levels from last year? Because they did participate in practices and games, and I don't know if you've ever watched a football or a basketball game. They're pretty much huffing and puffing on each other for 60 minutes. Did we have mass deaths and they just somehow escaped my view? Because you would think if COVID is this great danger to our kids that we're being told, you would have had athletes just dying right and left. And I don't think I missed it. And the reason is not because I'm a thorough researcher, but because the media wouldn't have let us miss it. If there had been one college athlete that had dropped dead from COVID after a sporting event, it would have been all over the news. Of course, it didn't happen. So the Emmys will be just another one of these events. Nothing will happen to anybody, and they know it. These people know it. AOC, when she went to the Met Gala and they're unmasked, but the servants are all pressed against the walls, eyes diverted from the elites, fully masked. The elites know the mask don't make any difference. I got to tell you, I am really wondering, the black community. I'm going to be on the Kim Wade show tonight. I'm going to fill in for Kim Wade. He's getting better every single day. On his way back, that's going to be quite the return. I got to tell you, I don't think there will be a more anticipated radio show than Kim Wade's first show back here at WYAB. And hopefully it will be sooner rather than later, but he is continuing to get well. But I'm going to be on a show tonight. It's a different audience. It's the after-work audience, people getting off work. And I'm really wondering about the black community, these masks. I can't really figure it out. Has it become a fashion statement? Because it's interesting that, I mean, I'm really proud of the fact that the black community is not uptaking this vaccine. I mean, at least you've learned one history lesson, which is, I'm not so much going to trust the medical establishment in this country. They haven't really been kind to our people over the years. But somehow have forgotten the lesson of civil rights. And but I don't know. Maybe it's become a fashion thing. I just see a lot of black people really getting into these masks. I mean, you just can't take them off of people. In the parking lots. In the cars. It just feels that way to me. Is it? Am I wrong? But the black community seems to have really embraced the mask and won't get away from it. And for the life of me, we're collecting people. I've gotten a lot of emails from people at Rankin County, got kids at Rankin County schools or Madison County schools as we fight these mask mandates. I have yet to hear of one person in Jackson Public Schools that wants to get their kids out of those masks. They must believe that they work. They must not care about being forced into doing something. And you would just think, I would just think the black community would be so sensitive towards being forced to do something by a government entity. I don't know why that lesson was lost. I don't like being forced into doing something, and I've never been oppressed in the way the black community has been oppressed, and I safeguard my freedom vigorously. Not so much for the black community. Talking about our freedom, I'll share this real quick. I'm actually having some contact issues today. So my contacts have got astigmatism. I talk about this every now and then, but got astigmatism. My contacts float around in my eyes and twist and turn sometimes, so it's difficult for me to read. But got an email out from Treasurer David McCray. They just sent me from here at the station. And he's talking about, I'm going to read the first sentence of this thing, and this really probably deserves more time than I can give it today because this is really disgusting. But this is from our state treasurer. He says, under the Biden administration, the federal government's role in our lives has become increasingly obtrusive, increasingly socialist, and increasingly concerning. Well, I do not disagree with that statement. The problem is he could have written that statement about every single administration for the last 50 years. And it drives me a little nuts how conservatives, when there's a Republican president or a Republican Congress and the government continues to encroach on us with things like the Patriot Act, which was almost exclusively drawn up by Republicans and so-called, air quotes here in the studio, conservatives, and people don't say a peep about it because you don't want to oppose the team. So he's right. The Biden administration is especially bad, but the government has been getting bigger, more socialist, and increasingly concerning for decades now. And I just wish people would realize it's coming from both sides. But he goes on to talk about the administration's begun forcing individuals to take the vaccines. I'm talking about the fascism straight out of the Biden administration of forcing social media companies to censor information, all of these kinds of things. But most recently, and the reason for this email is that Democrats announced a plan that would allow the IRS to more closely monitor any deposit or withdrawal from a bank account that has over $600 of activity each year. Each year. Now, what I would say to Republicans is you've had your chance to get rid of the IRS for decades. You've been in charge. You've had super majorities in both houses at some points. Republicans never even mentioned this. They give this one agency all of this power, the power to go after any American, and the only agency or the only area of law where you were assumed guilty and you have to prove yourself innocent. This has been going on for 100 years with the IRS. And I'm a little sick and tired of people sitting back and allowing this IRS to continue, as even though it's completely abusive. It's almost like it's a Soviet style department. And the Republicans do nothing about it. And then they're surprised that it starts to really overreach. It's been overreaching for a while. They've been getting a copy of every one of your debit card and credit card transactions for years. So this is what it takes now, because there's the Biden administration, and I don't have time to get into it today. I'm starting to smell out that I think Biden is a sacrificial lamb. I think they are really the knocks on Joe Biden right now from the left and the right, but particularly the left. I'm starting to smell a rat. I think they've set up Joe to fail. This really is elder abuse. It's sad enough they put this mentally addled man into a position where he has to speak in public. It's embarrassing at this point. But I think they did it on purpose, because he was an easy guy to get rid of at the twilight of his long and corrupt career. So ultimately, they're going to take him down. But yeah, the Biden administration, whoever's pulling the strings and doing things with the IRS. But here's my problem, and it's why I left the Republican Party years and years and years ago, 15, 16, 17 years ago now. I left the Republican Party because they would allow an IRS at all. The fact that they strip us of our wealth. And when they take 3% less, they want us to pat them on the back for it. I realize the Republicans are not about freedom. They're about big government, and they've been using this Nazi agency to run us for too long. See you tomorrow.
No
Bye-bye.
Matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.